Whoever is steadfast in righteousness will live. But he who pursues evil will die. Those of crooked heart are an abomination to the Lord. But those of blameless ways are his delight. Be assured, an evil person will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. The desire of the righteous ends only in good. The expectation of the wicked in wrath. Did you see that one of these things is not like the others? Did you catch that? This is Proverbs chapter 10, verses 17 through 23, excuse me, 19 through 23. And it is pretty clearly a section continuing the general theme, but we're moving away from it piece by piece. And here we have this one just kind of shoved into the middle. It's not like this moving away isn't dealing with wickedness and righteousness, faith and unbelief, goodness and evil. The whole book deals with that, but the emphasis on the parallel or the comparing and contrasting of them with each other, we're gradually moving into more narrow ideas, right? And you have one of them, it's just in a really weird spot, especially since the following verses then continue to be these more one-shot proverbs. The next verse, 24, is one gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and suffers only want. A narrow thing about generosity. But you do have these four of these five verses here, 19 to 23, good versus evil, good versus evil, good versus evil. And then kind of like a sore thumb, like a golden ring in a pig's snout, sticking out, weird, odd. This bit about a beautiful woman without discretion. And let's just zoom in on that first, and then we'll come back and look at the bigger picture. But I think it's more than just about a beautiful woman who doesn't know how to be modest with herself. It's more than just about that, but that's the image. A woman who does not realize the gift that her womanhood is and so abuses it. And that abuse can only be compared to the wasting of gold in the nose of a pig. But it's bigger than that. It's not just about a woman in modesty. It's about waste in general. It's about not recognizing the value of what something valuable really is and abusing it, throwing it away, discarding it, throwing your pearls before swine, right? As our Lord says of the word of God or mission wasted upon the hard-hearted who've already rejected it when there are others who might hear. It's about knowing what things are good for and what they're not good for, knowing how the design of creation is made and embracing that. And this goes then for man and woman and our distinction, our differences, our strengths, our weaknesses. This goes for how we live in concert with our neighbors and with our communities. This goes with how you attend your hands to your vocation. And this goes for even then, I guess, and maybe this is the hard attempt at a segue or a connection point, even then, knowing the distinction between good and evil in general. That humanity, fallen, rejecting the paradise we were given, have made ourselves to be like a golden ring in the snout of a pig. We've lost our discretion. We've lost our wisdom. We've lost our ability to see and perceive and know and do true good. And so then in this context of this comparison between good and evil, well, increasingly, if you're going to take the words at their face value, we find ourselves standing in the evil. Now, we've talked about righteousness being faith, right? That you have to hear this ultimately as justification, as God declaring you good. Whoever is steadfast in righteousness will live. That's whoever holds to the faith that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that he died and rose again, that his blood covers us and our children from all of our sins. Whoever is righteous by faith in Christ alone as a gift will live. But he who pursues evil, the one who chases after this flesh that we live in, who decides, the faith I've been given, I don't want it. The justification I've been given, I don't want it. I'll do it myself. Well, he's going to die. Had a little conversation last night with my kids about, what are we supposed to say on the day of judgment when we stand there? Do we need to say something? Do we need to say the right thing? And I said, you know what? First off, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit is going to give us words to say when we really need to. When God really needs to work saving faith in anyone, anywhere, even if it's you talking to your neighbor, he's going to give you the words to say. So do not be anxious about these things. That's straight out of Jesus' mouth. But the other side of it is, in the parable of the sheep and the goats, the sheep really don't say anything until he just calls them sheep, because they look so different. They're sheep. They're not sheep, they're goats. They're not goats, they're sheep. Sheep and goats look nothing alike. The sheep don't say anything until he declares them to be sheep. And then they're like, really, I'm a sheep? And he's like, yes, right? So you don't have to say anything on the day of judgment. Jesus is going to say everything. He's going to say it to you. Come, enter my rest, you, blessed by my Father. And you're going to be like, whoa, I totally don't deserve this. The one who are yammering so much on that day are going to be the goats. Well, didn't I do all these good things? Right? The ones that are going to be so prepared to like make an answer and a defense for why they ought to go into heaven. Well, that's goat thinking. That's law thinking. That's ladder climbing thinking. You don't need to fear judgment day. The declaration has already been given. Did you go to church yesterday? Then God gave it to you. When the pastor said, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. That is, on the day of judgment, I pronounce you innocent. Like, it's already been given. The wicked don't want that. The wicked pursue the evil of self-justification. And therefore are crooked in heart. They can't see that all goodness comes from God alone and become then an abomination to God. They're in his way. They're trying to be God. But those of blameless ways are his delight. And there's where what I said, you know, if you start taking this just on face value by itself, you might think, well, blameless ways. I know I haven't been that. But that's law thinking. And law thinking is not bad. It's not like the law isn't true. It just needs to be kept in its place. It just shouldn't be allowed to be the final measure of your salvation or of your relationship with God. So those of blameless ways, if we judge by the law, are certainly not us. It's only Jesus. But see, if we judge by the gospel that Jesus has imputed to you the righteousness he purchased for you by nailing your debts to the cross in himself, then now you are, by definition, buried and raised with him, washed in his name. You are, by definition, those of blameless ways because you're those of Jesus' ways. You're those of Jesus' works. You are those who stand not on your own righteousness but on his. So while the evil person does not go unpunished, because they are crooked of heart, seeking to justify themselves and therefore never coming to an actual state of righteousness, therefore are being an abomination from the Lord, you, steadfast in the justification of Christ for you, are blameless. Clothed in the white robe of his righteousness, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and therefore his delight. The person who seeks to justify themselves, the person who seeks to make themselves good enough for God on the day of judgment, will not go unpunished. I mean, we have it ahead of time. We have the ruling ahead of time. Nobody can do it. If you want to stand in the balance with your own weight, you're going to be found wanting. But the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. The seed of Jesus, right? He is the offspring of Abraham, the offspring of the woman, the one righteous one, the Son of God himself even. And you have been brought into him, that now you are his offspring. So that the Lord has said to him, God has said to him, behold, the brothers I give you. And he says to the Father, look, me and the children whom you have given to me, you will be delivered. That's the whole point of Christianity. If you can't believe that the whole point of Christianity is that Jesus has delivered you, why are you a Christian? What are you doing? I mean, don't get me wrong, stay one, please. But what are you doing? Why are you here? Why are you listening? I get it. We're going to doubt anyway. That's part of the issue. The more you become a Christian, the more you doubt. The more you struggle. The more that the war against your flesh just kind of gets real in your heart. But in those moments, that's what you got to preach the gospel to yourself like I'm doing it to you now. It's like, what are you doing, soul? Isn't the whole point of this thing that I'm delivered? It's not that I must get up high enough for God or find some kind of faith within myself. There are these words outside of you. You are delivered. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. It doesn't just kind of, it's still, it just flows in the weirdest little direction. How foolish it is to hold up anything of value without knowing its value. Christian, know the value of the gospel. It is so much greater than gold. And it is there for you not to doubt, but to believe. It is the strength, not you. It is the source of faith, not you. It is the object into which your faith may sink and cling and never doubt. In the moment of dark night, when you're just not sure if you have enough faith, the gospel is that God says, I wash you. Get over yourself. I'm the one doing it. I baptize you. I forgive you. I died for you. You're mine. I've called you by name. When you pass through the fire, I will be with you. Strengthen your weak knees, little worm. It's one of my favorite passages out of Isaiah. Whenever I'm part of an ordination process, I always pull that one out. You worm, I will do it, he says. It's good news. It's comfort. The strength of the king. The desire of the righteous, the desire of justification, ends only in good. Faith will produce endurance, and endurance character, and character hope. But for the wicked, all that they may expect is wrath. That is, for the one who doesn't think they need any Jesus. Not the one who doubts, not the one who questions, not the one struggling against the flesh, for the one who doesn't think they need Jesus at all. Well, that's another story. You stand on your own. You say, oh yeah, I'll be good enough. The expectation is wrath. We need the blood.